Welcome to the Open House Podcast. Conversations exploring life, faith, and hope. Discover more interviews at openhousecommunity.com.au.
During the long parliamentary debates on the Gonski 2.0 funding package, one of the speakers, Pauline Hanson, raised the issue of autism. Her comments created a storm of controversy amongst people who support those with autism and people with other disabilities. Nicole Rogerson is a spokesperson for Autism Awareness Australia. She's the mother to Jack, who was diagnosed with autism at 3, and who's now finished school in a mainstream setting, having achieved at a high level. I asked Nicole what was her initial response to Pauline Hanson's comments.
To be honest, I read them before I heard them. Yeah. I know that sounds strange, but I was reading Twitter.
And it's very old school, by the way.
I could actually read what people were writing. So I didn't have the tone or the context necessarily. It was only about 20 minutes later when I actually got to see it, did I realise the full, you know, gravity of what she was saying and how she was saying it, which is more important.
Well, look, what I'd like to do, if you don't mind, I'd like to play you part of what she said in the Senate again so that we can actually pick up on a couple of the issues that she's raised.
I hear it so many times from parents and teachers whose time is taken up with children in the classroom, whether they have a disability or whether they are autistic, that it is taking up the teacher's time. These kids have a right to an education by all means. But if there is a number of them, these children should actually go into a special classroom, looked after and given that special attention, because most of the time the teacher spends so much time on them they forget about the child who is reigning at the, you know, wants to go ahead and leaps and bounds in their education but are held back by those because the teachers spend time with them. And I'm not denying them. If it was one of my children, I'd love all the time given to them to give them those opportunities. But is it at the loss of our other kids? I think that we have more autistic children and yet we are not providing the special classrooms or the schools for these autistic children. And if they are, they're at a huge expense to parents. I think we need to take that into consideration, that we need to look at this. It's no good saying that we've got to allow these kids to feel good about themselves and we don't want to upset them and make them feel hurt, and I understand that. But we have to be realistic at times and consider the impact that is having on other children in that classroom. We can't afford to hold our kids back.
Well, that's Pauline Hanson in the Senate. Nicole Rogerson, when you hear that, what does it make you feel?
It's really interesting because I've, you know, obviously all week I've sort of been quite vocal in saying how appalled I was by her words, and I remain so. However, it's interesting the people that have come out of the woodwork, Pauline Hanson supporters namely, who say, well, listen to the words she's saying, Nick. She's saying, you know, we want to give these kids special attention and we want to put them in a special class. And you could kind of tick the box there and say, yes, she is saying that, but listen to what she's not saying. She refers to them constantly as these children, and but, you know, we need to be good to them, but they can't be holding up our children, our golden special children. Yes. You know, it's just that the tone and messaging is all wrong. If she wanted to start a conversation, a really sensible one this week, about how we better educate children with autism, she could have done that. But really, that wasn't the undertone. That wasn't the message, and everybody heard it. So she could, you know, she nervously swallows in a latter press conference and tries to make out like we didn't get the intention. We all heard the intention of what she was really saying.
I think the inflection of it speaks for itself, and I'm pleased we've got the audio to go back to, because yes, if you read the words on the paper, it might look like you could give her the benefit of the doubt, but I don't think there's any doubt whatsoever about her intention in that, and she probably regrets going too far. I hope she does. So let's look at a couple of the points that she raised, and let's see if we can, you know, take them at face value. Are autistic kids holding, and she said, our children? I'm just so offended by that idea that I'll just say, are autistic kids with autism holding back other kids?
Yeah, look, that's just a nonsense thing to say. And you know, I don't know where Pauline got her information from. I suspect, you know, two constituents in North Queensland contacted her with a sad story. She tends to go with the latest story someone's told her. Look, the reality is this. The autism is a spectrum. For those listeners who don't know, it can affect children very mildly right down to quite severe autism with significant behavioural challenges. Where kids go to school probably depends on where they are on the autism spectrum and the decisions that are made by their family and their local school. So for some kids and for some families, they absolutely want a segregated environment. They do want to go to an autism special school. They want their kids in a special autism class or school. Can I say, no parent wants that for their child. Basically, parents have come to that assumption because their child has a severe case of autism. Nobody looks at their brand new little baby and says, I hope that for the rest of your life you're in a segregated educational environment. Yes. Nobody wants that. But families, some families do choose that. But it is the minority of children with autism that should be educated that way.
And that's very different from the way it was even 20 years ago.
Absolutely, and that just shows how far we've come along, and how sophisticated our thinking has become, how much research has told us this is the right way to go, let alone families who have had the experience. A beautiful thing we did this week on Facebook is I actually started it and I put a photo up of my Jack and said, you know, this is my Jack, let us show the faces of all of the kids in mainstream education. Let's put a face to this for Pauline. Yes. And we just had thousands of families send in a photo of their child and their story about what they were experiencing in the education system. And it was very hard not to cry while reading them because they were absolutely beautiful stories.
Yeah, so without making the story about Ms. Hansen, because it really ought to be about the kids, there is a fair point to be made, and it seems to me that even to just discuss that as a community is very, very important. So there are parents who'll say, look, we just know that the experience of our children in the class is not a positive experience. In fact, it's not positive for any child because the teacher doesn't have enough help, for instance, to be able to deal with not just autism, but the range of needs within the classroom of 20 to 30 kids. So that's an issue that's about resourcing and the strategies that we employ, isn't it?
It is, but keep in mind, it's not just kids with autism who are the...
Well, that's what I'm saying, exactly.
...in the class. You know, there are the ratbag kids, there are the loud kids.
Yep.
You know, there's the child's hard to get her attention, there's the child that comes from a very disrupted family home. Like, there's a million different stories, literally, in all the little school seats across Australia as to how kids manage in classrooms. So to say that only autistic kids are the ones with behavioural challenges is disingenuous and quite mean.
What do we know about autism then?
We know a lot. I mean, I think that's what's really tricky. Sometimes you'll hear people say, well, autism's such a mystery. There's so much we don't know. That's not true. There's so much we do know. And we've been studying it fairly consistently for the last 40 years. So look, we know it's a developmental disorder. We know that it looks like it has a genetic background for many kids with autism. It can run in families. And it's a developmental delay, but it affects kids really differently. There's a sort of common saying, if you've met a kid with autism, you've met someone with autism, but it tells you nothing about autism. And that's true of all the families commenting at the moment, is my experience with my son is going to be very different to the lady down the road's experience with her son and vice versa. So you can't just wrap up autistic kids as if they whack a label on them and say, here's a policy, this is how we're going to do it, any more than you could on the education of regular kids. So
do you get the sense that they're...
things have to be set up.
Yes, do you get the sense that they're the current scapegoat and that in a previous, maybe 10 years ago, it was ADHD and prior to that it was something else? But we kind of say, well, the thing that's the latest to be diagnosed and therefore there's a rapid increase in the number of people being diagnosed, so we suddenly say, oh, it's the new fashion, you know, my kid's on the spectrum or my kid has ADHD, everyone's on Ritalin these days. You can just hear those from your own history, can't you? Those things being said.
I suspect that's true.
And if they're the latest so-called scapegoat, does that just mean that our attention, the attention we're giving that is vastly disproportionate to its actual, to the extent to which it's become a problem in the classroom? Is that what Pauline Hansen's reacting to?
Look, Pauline Hansen, in actual fact, just 3 to 4 months ago, came out and gave some horrible misinformation about autism and vaccines. So it seems to be a topic on her radar right now. I'm not sure why, only that possibly there's 1 in 100 Australians have an autism spectrum disorder. So it's 1% of the population. It's a fair crack of kids within the education system. So it's not a small problem to solve. I think what's interesting is the government's reaction to Pauline Hanson this week. Obviously, they needed her votes in the Senate, so they weren't going to be overly criticising of her. But I worry that the idea that the National Disability Insurance Scheme is here now, that will just solve the whole problem because we've given funding to help those kids now. When in actual fact, this isn't a disability issue. This is an education issue. So it's not that simple. The National Disability Insurance Scheme won't be the answer here. This is every state in Australia putting together a policy on how best to educate children on the autism spectrum, and they don't have one, and there isn't any federal government leadership in this area.
All right, but we know from your son's example and so many, many others that kids with autism can be educated really well, that they're wonderful contributors to society, and as adults they can make a fantastic contribution. Tell me about your son's story.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm biased and I'm always regretful, I'm always cautious of doing this because it is just one story.
Well, if you like, tell me somebody else's son's story.
Well, I guess what I like to say is that in my role of being, one job I have is being a mum to Jack, who's off working this afternoon. So right there and then, there's somebody on the autism spectrum working full time. He will not be an NDIS participant. He will be a taxpayer contributing to NDIS. Right. So that's a great outcome.
Yes.
Parents all across Australia want their child to lead as most independent life as possible, independent of the disabling parts of autism. That's all we ever really want. That's all anybody wants, right? To grow up, have a happy life, get a job and be able to take care of themselves. Autism families are no different. But what stands in between that happening is the complete lack of early intervention, which has been true in Australia over the last 30 years. The NDIS is only going to now start addressing that. And then we're at the mercy of school systems, and which are sometimes great for us and sometimes work against us. If I could give you a dollar for every time I hear a story of a child not being able to communicate appropriately at school and the school's response is to suspend the child or expel the child. So we haven't solved the problem. The child just turns up in the next school down the road and the problem continues and continues.
That's right.
So we have a systemic problem that we need to address, and there just simply isn't the leadership for it. If Pauline Hanson was genuine about her concern in this area, she should have, instead of complaining and saying what the problem is and we need to move these kids out of the way, a true leader would have said, okay, I can see there's a problem here and I'm happy to lead a conversation that we can have nationally to work out a better system so that we can make sure these kids are valued and included in our community, because inclusion is the goal. That's what a true leader does. That's not what Ms. Hanson did.
If people want to find out more about autism, Nicole, where can they go?
Biasedly, I would say come over to our website at Autism Awareness Australia.
That's what I was hoping you'd say.
If you follow our social channels, we really do try to do a good job of circulating information, articles and research on what's evidence-based. There's a great piece up there at the moment that was written in The Conversation this weekend about what the research behind inclusion actually is. So if you want to get behind the Pauline Hanson rhetoric and find a little bit more about the policy, our social media network channels are the best way to get that information.
Autism Awareness Australia.
Thank you so much.